With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. If by Hollywood you mean Burbank, across the street from a Wiener Schnitzel that serves beer. I'm actually coming to you live today from Big Bear, California, high up in the mountains above Los Angeles. Sam, you can hear me good, right?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on today, and this is the business end of show business. If you've never heard the program before, it's every Sunday on KEIB 1150 on your AM dial, and we talk about at the business end of show business, a lot of movies, some Disneyland, and you'll find out what else. Now, big news this week, a lot of news. Of course, the Oscars came and went and talked about it 2 weeks ago. Didn't talk about it last week because we were on at the same time as the Oscars. But my prediction for Best Picture of West Side Story did not come true. I was playing the odds, and I thought I could get a long shot because I thought everybody who the Academy would split between Coda and Power of the Dog, but everybody's second place would be the West Side Story, and then that would win by virtue of being everybody's second place, which does happen sometimes. But I really don't think it was everybody's second place. I think everybody's second place was Belfast. So, and then Coda just, you know, a lot of momentum towards the end. If you haven't seen, have you seen it, Sam?
I haven't. No, I really haven't had a chance to see any of the movies that was up for Best Picture. But now that I'm starting to get a little more time, I'm digging my hands into that one for sure. I know my parents got Belfast on Amazon Prime last night. I saw the receipt. So they're at least catching up on their Oscar movies.
Yeah, Belfast was great. You know, I liked all 10 of the movies except for Power of the Dog, but I'm going to give it another chance and watch it again, or maybe finish it. I couldn't even finish it. So, you know, and then my wife finished it and she said, I think you might understand it at least if you finished it. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of time to sit around and wait for something to happen in a movie. So, you know, a lot of great acting, but for me, it was for nothing. But enough of that. I still think Drive My Car was the best film of the year, but I realize why no one's going to vote it for Best Picture. But I'm glad it was nominated. And then after that, I think I enjoyed Licorice Pizza the most. But congratulations to Coda. Very deserving. You know, a great film with no stars. And they made stars. So Marley Matlin, I guess, is a star, but you know, there's no Matt Damon's or Keanu Reeves or Leonardo DiCaprio's in it. So let's, before we get to Chris Rock, a little more about movies and with Keanu Reeves. There's a story that just broke, which is like a long time coming. Keanu Reeves, his movies have been scrubbed from the China streaming services. And it's not because of anything he did this week, but it's something he announced he was going to do in January. He was going to perform at a benefit for Tibet and the Dalai Lama on March 3rd, which I guess he did perform at. And what he did there, it wasn't his band Dogstar performing. It was a concert, but he read a poem that they read every year that was written by Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac and Neil Cassidy, the beat poets from the 40s and 50s. And they do it every year. And this year, Keanu Reeves decided he was going to, you know, go all in on the Tibet stuff. And China is increasingly making demands on the American films. If you cross them in any way, your film will not be released there. Now, a lot of the films weren't released because of the pandemic, but now that it's gearing back up, it used to be like 48% of their box office in China was American films. You know, they're like, hey, these American films are great. Our people love them. And it was a big market for the U.S. And when the U.S. companies were in trouble, they could go to China. And then slowly, it started to turn out like a deal with the devil, because you had to modify your films to please China. And China is a, you know, one big propaganda machine to manipulate their populace. And they're making people change movies, change the ending. Some of them were like, you have to spend so many millions of dollars to change the end of this movie so that the instead of an American fighter jet saving the day, it will be, I forgot which movie this was, but maybe you can remind me. What about maybe Chinese fighter jets come and save the day? How does that, can we do that? And even things there's subjects you can't do in China. You can't do subjects like ghosts. Did you know that, Sam?
Really?
Can't do ghosts.
That interesting.
You can't do ghosts. You can't do any movie that pits the little guy against the big guy.
I'm kind of curious to see what China's equivalent to the Hays Code looks like.
Oh, it's very interesting. There's a new book called The Red Carpet that was a Chinese this guy named Eric Schwartzel did an amazing job researching this book. And he your mind will be blown at all the stuff that that goes on in the Chinese, Hays Code kind of stuff. And, you know, we needed this movie, but I mean, we needed this money, but now people are thinking, like, why did we take it? For example, in 2003, Finding Nemo sold like 8 million DVDs. And then a DVD now just sells, the biggest one in the world probably sells 40,000, 50,000, maybe 100,000. So they lost all this money. They had to get it somewhere. So they got it from the Chinese. Here's the things they don't like. They don't like underdog narratives. Can you imagine that?
Really?
Because that would mean that the people there could maybe be an underdog and overthrow the government.
Yeah, inspiring protest.
Yeah, they don't want to inspire any protests. They will take things like, hey, this Chinese security guard in the movie Skyfall by the James Bond movie, this guy was killed by James Bond, and that makes Chinese people look weak. So take it out of the film. The Red Dawn was the movie where they had to change the an invading Chinese army. They had to invade it into an army from North Korea.
Oh.
And they had to do it like pixel by pixel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and so, how many of the Keanu Reeves movies were already not released in China? I'm sure the John Wick films were never released.
Well, they had... I'm not sure about John Wick, but they had all the Matrix films. They had Bill and Ted's. they had The Lake House, Something's Gotta Give, and they all disappeared.
Yeah.
What's funny, though, is Toy Story 4 is still there, which is one of the most awesome roles that Keanu Reeves ever played. Kaboom.
I can't argue that at all.
Yeah, the Canadian Evel Knievel. That's still there. They couldn't deprive their people of that. So anyway, that's kind of some theater news.
Well, also, it ties in. He did a voiceover and was a prominent character in a video game, Cyberpunk 2077. I'm wondering if that was never released in China as well, because I wonder what the rules behind that would be if they had to scrub him from that as well.
Well, they're just going to scrub him from everything because he supports Tibet. They don't, it'll be interesting to see if the video game, how they scrub a video game, take it off the shelves, I guess.
Them do it. There was a case with Peter Dinklage. He did the voiceover on a game called Destiny, and the voiceover, apparently the direction on the voiceover was so bad that he ended up, like, everybody just criticized it universally. So they went and they re-recorded the voiceover with a different voice actor. I think they did use Nathan Fillion. And they just uploaded a patch and Peter Dinklage vanished from the game.
Well, they might be able to do that. But, you know, they don't recognize Taiwan. I mean, they don't recognize Tibet. The Dalai Lama is fighting to get the independence for Tibet. So if you join that fight, you're scrubbed from. And this is going to be the problem. We got to take a break here. But the problem is Keanu Reeves will not be a name that can make money for a film in China. So he's going to get a lot less offers. But he did it for his values. And I know this guy. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's doing it because he thinks it's the right thing to do. So let's take a break and we'll come back with Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. I'm a lover of the pizza, all of the time. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood, the business end of show business, every Sunday on KEIB, 1150 on your AM dial. Sam, I want to get back to the Oscars now that we dealt with this Keanu Reeves situation. And, you know, hats off to Keanu for sticking to his guns and just saying, I don't care. And America has got to rethink this Chinese thing everywhere because the box office used to be 48%. Now it's 12% in China. They're shrinking it. And what a lot of people I will get to the Oscars, but what they're saying is that China likes these movies. They have now learned how to make the movies, so they will make the movies themselves. And China is all about propaganda. So if it's they're making movies that will manipulate their populace, and or at least not steer them in the wrong direction like the underdog films might, and don't give them any ideas. Yeah. About overthrowing their government. So they're making these big films, and those are filling the box office now, and they don't need – so they've got what they wanted out of the United States, and now they're paring it down, and they will – and you really have to play by the rules if you want to get your film in China, and you can't have Keanu Reeves in it now. So what does that do to Keanu? Keanu's trying to get a job. And they say, well, you don't mean anything in China anymore. In fact, you're poison. You're box office poison there. So you can't be in our movie. Now.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Keanu Reeves is a smart guy. He knew that would happen. And so he did the support for Tibet anyway, which is what he's being kicked out of the Chinese streaming services for. And he didn't care. He doesn't care. This guy doesn't care about money. So good for him. I wish I didn't care about money. Okay, so back to the Oscars. All right, so yeah, I was watching the Oscars. I was trying to get everybody, if you were on my Facebook page or whatever, hey, let's just maybe give up bashing the Oscars for Lent. And that could be something you could give up and not bash the Oscars. And we could all watch it and have fun like we used to. And there's a lot of reasons to criticize the Oscars. You could say the hosts aren't good. The jokes aren't funny. You could say there's too many political rantings. It's too long. All these things. But you know what? I've heard them all before, and they're boring me. So I'm going to watch it. I don't care if it's 3.5 hours. I might read during it. You know, I might do my knitting. I mean, I don't Let them have their thing. So if ABC wants to broadcast a 4-hour Oscar thing and they can sell commercials, let them broadcast a 4-hour Oscar thing. Why do we have to worry about how long it is? What's your feelings on that, Sam?
I'm right there with you, actually. If they're going to take the time and have the people want to spend the money on advertising it, and it's a recognition of everything that is filmmaking. So it's hard to criticize and feel bad about it because I'm not looking at it from like the best actor or anything. Most of my friends in the industry are the guys that work behind the scenes. So for me, it's a celebration.
Friends are A-list stars, so that's weird.
Oh, I know that. I've heard about the people you secretly commingle with. For me, I'm you know, the editors and the directors of photography, those guys are my buddies and stuff like that. So for me, I'm watching that stuff as a celebration of filmmaking.
Celebrate all
of it. So it's about them as much as it is about the big A-listers.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's kind of like the people who bash the Olympics. It's like, I can think of 1,000 ways to bash the Olympics and reasons, but I don't know. It's just so boring to me. So
don't bash synchronized swimming, man. And keep curling out your mouth.
That's funny. So I watched it and I was excited, and then I had to like kind of halfway in the middle of it, I had to go to my niece's house for dinner and watch the rest of it there. And of course I missed the slap during that period. And then I just couldn't believe it. And then, so we just rewound it and watched it but, you know, to me, it's a guy who snapped. A lot of people snap. I think the people that do mass murders snap. The people that, you know, that do a lot of the assaults that you see now everywhere on YouTube. I mean, all these people, they're snapping. And people are crazy. So he got crazy. He snapped. But I agree with the people who think he should be punished. I think everybody was nervous, and you know, they started. He's still sitting there, so no one wants to make a scene. The Academy says they asked him to leave, but no one saw the people from the Academy going up to him and say, "Please leave." I think they did it through his publicist. They said, "Can you have him leave?" And he went to the publicist. The publicist went to Will Smith and said, they want you to leave. And he said, no, I'm good. You know, that attitude. I'm good. I'll be fine. So, you know, it's their job to keep this thing, you know, going smoothly. They probably should have gone and asked him to leave themselves and not left it to a publicist. But, you know, with like so many cameras on everything, nobody knows what to do. I can't criticize them. I can't criticize the Academy. I can only criticize Will Smith for snapping over a joke. I didn't think the joke was nice. Didn't need it, but you move on. But I think Will Smith believes that he snapped, and probably, I guess he says he has two personalities. One is the general, who you saw go slap Chris Rock. The other one is Uncle Fluffy. Uncle Fluffy is the nice one that we see all the time that we all love. Who doesn't love Will Smith? One of the most beloved figures in Hollywood. I mean, I can't say enough about the guy pre-Oscars. So now he did this. So they're thinking about what they're going to do to him. And then he resigns from the Academy, which I think was brilliant. Resign. And then they can't kick you out because you're already resigned, and they could take away your Oscar. I mean, what does resigning from the Academy mean? That's what everyone asks me. It means that you're not going to be able to go to the screenings and the events and the fundraisers that they invite you to that you weren't going to go anyway. And now you don't have to go. So he doesn't lose anything there. Then he won't be able to vote for the Oscars next year. But if they listen to me, and if they're listening now, Academy members, I only know one guy that's like, you know, actually part of building the show. And I haven't told him this, but hopefully he's listening. Let Will go into timeout and then have him repent And by next year, Will Smith and Chris Rock are the co-hosts of the next Oscars. Now, we have 30 million people watching instead of the 16 million we had this year. Does that work for you, Sam?
As long as they're wearing boxing gloves. if they do you could sell it on pay-per-view.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We could have a revenge match, of course. But, so they are going to have to – I mean, that's one thing you can do. There's going to be an audience next year for the Oscars. The reason why the Oscars got $16 million this year and $10 million last year because the movies were terrible last year. This year, the movies were better. So $16 million, still low. But next, if you make better movies and release better movies, more people will come. But I think you're going to get a bump to maybe $20 million this year for the next year Oscars. And then it's going to probably fall off again unless they, figure something out. But I don't like to criticize them. I think they have a hard job. And it's the only awards show, I think, that should be televised. The other ones are just are tragedies, even when they were at their peak, in my opinion.
Have happened, because he won for Best Actor, what would have happened had they kicked him out?
Well, then someone would have come up and collected the Oscar for him. That's what they should have done. They should have kicked him out. He should have won. He collects it. It's kind of like a guy gets kicked out of the game, and he's in the locker room watching the game, and he might win. He might win MVP, but he's in the locker room, and that's what they should have done. And maybe they should take away his Oscar. They can do that anytime they want. But we'll see. And his brand has been damaged. We'll talk a little bit more about this after the break. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. By Hollywood, you mean Burbank. The podcast continues. Now, this is the first two segments aired live, and then we had to go to Clippers pregame. Good for them. Speaking of the Clippers, Sam, let's talk a little bit later about the Lakers HBO series.
Because
I know you're all over it, but let me take your take on the Oscars and Chris Rock and all that stuff.
Honestly, I didn't even know who won Best Picture because of all of that. I was too busy talking to everybody else about what happened with Chris Rock and with Will Smith. Will Smith could have said that same stuff from that distance, and he would have probably been seen as being slightly disruptive. There would have still been controversy, but it wouldn't have been toxic. It wouldn't have been something that would have been viewed as problematic. A lot of people would have viewed him as being a hero for defending his wife. The thing is, you can be the defender of your wife without walking up and slapping a stand-up comedian. At that point, Will Smith transformed into the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, Toxic Avenger, I like it. Right, and he is toxic because his movies that he had. He has a movie that where he plays a slave during the 1700s or 1800s. The people that invested in that movie are screwed. They don't know what to do. His TV projects. He has a TV company. I think it's called Westbrook, whatever. They produce a lot of stuff. They're very prominent. I was part of something that was being pitched to them just a month ago. And everybody was excited to have Will Smith's name and persona behind this project. And they didn't buy it, but if they had, it would have been dead on arrival. And, it would have been an option to them, and it would have been dead. It just would have been dead. Yeah. But, so his brand is suffering. It's a mortal wound to his career, as they're saying. And the Toxic Avenger. That's very funny.
I heard that they are putting a halt to one of the Bad Boys projects. The new project he was going to do with Martin Lawrence. That one's going to not happen, apparently.
Yeah, he was going to do a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles remake.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah, with Martin Lawrence or something like that. And that's something the box office could have used. And like you said, nobody knows that Coda won, or nobody is talking about it. Nobody this weekend is filling up the theaters to see Coda because it's a it's on Amazon or Apple, is it still in the theaters? I don't know if you can see it in the theaters, but anybody, nobody's going to Apple and driving up the numbers that where they should have been all along, because it was such a great film when it came out. It should have got more action when it happened, but because of Will Smith, and I think Will Smith knows this.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, he went and did what he did. He snapped. He regrets it. But now he's seeing how many people he harmed along the way. He ruined it. He ruined the evening. Ruined the odds. I don't think he ruined it for all time. I think you can bounce back. And it's in many ways, it's it'll be made fun of. Saturday Night Live, I don't know if you watched that. They did a skit on it, and it was hilarious. It was a conversation with the seat filler who sat next to him like right before it happened, and he can't believe his luck, and he's telling him, can we take a selfie? And then he goes, hey, hold on a second. And then he walks up and smacks Chris Rock. They don't show that part, but then he sits back down, and he goes, okay, you want to do that selfie? And the guy goes, no, thanks. and then another guy sits down who didn't see it all happen and can't believe that he's sitting next to Chris Rock. And he says he's about to get a selfie or something. And the guy asks him his name, and he goes, oh my God, Chris Rock is trending on his phone. And he goes, then he asks his name, and the other seat filler just goes, they didn't give me one. You know, just wants nothing to do with this guy. You know, within a second, like you said, within a second, he became the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
So, and that's fun, and I don't think it's going to ruin the Academy Awards. I don't think so, but it will. It ruined a lot of stuff for a lot of people.
If anything, it brings more eyes to it next year. Just because everybody wants to see what's that, like, it's something that brought a lot of attention to the show for every wrong reason, but eyes were there.
But it's and people should know it's a newsworthy event, and people lost sight of that, and you know, now more eyeballs are on it. Maybe people will realize there's still a lot of glamour involved. There's still a lot of business. It's still the greatest American art form that there is, and if you take the period from like 1820 to 1920, or sorry, 1920 to 2020. I mean, that is just a period in time where some of the most amazing artwork ever created in the history of the world is created. And maybe it died off after 2020. Maybe it's dead in some people's minds, but it doesn't have to be. So to me, I look at it like vinyl. They thought vinyl was dead. Vinyl was a different way to deliver music. And they said it was dead. And now the purists have turned it into a real business. And purists, I believe, will carry the movie industry and the Oscars and the movie theaters, and they won't die. But, it's in a weird way, maybe this will help. But Coda, definitely you got to see Coda. It's a great film. And if you at all think you can endure a three-hour Japanese film with subtitles, see Drive My Car. And it's a movie about despair and grief and stuff like that. So you got to be in the mood. I saw it in the theater, like by myself in the daytime. Perfect. But it's a kind of a movie. It does not have to be seen in the theater. Now, let's go back to the Oscars. Chris Rock, right after this happened to him, he did something that made someone else want to punch him in the face. He announced the winner of the documentary feature category, which was Summer of Soul, and he announced the producers. Now, if you win an Oscar, first of all, the people that were at the Oscars, I talked to some of them, they said after this Chris Rock thing happened, nobody was paying attention to what was going on stage. People at home watching were paying attention because they were forced to.
Yeah.
But everybody in the theater, in the Kodak Theater, they weren't paying attention to anything that was on stage. They were just freaking out. So that, again, ruined everything for everybody next. They brought out the producers not the real producer. The real producer of The Godfather, by the way, is my friend Al Ruddy. And he got snubbed. He's having trouble walking right now, so I don't think he wanted to come out on stage. But we had, four prominent figures from The Godfather. They came out to celebrate the 50th anniversary of The Godfather and the new movie or series on Paramount Plus called The Offer, which will be about my friend Al Ruddy. 10 episodes about Al Ruddy and the making of The Godfather. If you ever meet me, I can tell you the real stories that he tells me, but I'm sure this will be whitewashed, but it'll be entertaining nonetheless. Now, nobody was paying attention when those guys walked out on stage. It was, who were those guys that were on stage? You probably don't remember because nobody's talking about it.
Well, that's the thing. Everything that happened in the show, my brain is like, okay, I can't remember much of that.
They looked like ghouls too because they're really old and they didn't know what to do. They were just kind of like, we got to go out there. Are you kidding? So we had Francis Ford Coppola, the director, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. I guess that was it. Three guys. Yeah, we had three guys. And they looked stunned, betrayed, bewildered. But right after I think this is the thing that happened right after. Well, yeah, Chris Rock announces the winner of Best Documentary, and it's Summer of Soul. And what you do, the producer is so exalted. That's why I brought up producers, I guess. The producer gets the Oscar. Al Ruddy walked up there and got the Oscar for The Godfather. Not these three clowns that were up there. They're not clowns, of course. Yeah. They're not the guys that won the Oscar, the Best Picture Oscar for The Godfather. It was Al Ruddy. That's why the show's about him. But the producers of Summer of Soul, the guys that deserve all the credit for that movie, which is immensely popular, were introduced. This is their moment. Their names are supposed to be read, into the record.
Yeah.
The announcer, their names are printed on an envelope handed to Chris Rock. Here's what he said. The winner is Summer of Soul. Producer Questlove, whatever his full name is, and four white guys. Okay?
Okay.
That might be funny to you, but ruined an Oscar moment for especially one of the white guys he's talking about is Joseph Patel, a guy from India, and he was furious. And he wrote an op-ed in the Variety or something and just said, Chris Rock is a villain, and he ruined this for me and for the others, and screw you, Chris Rock.
Wow.
So that's not getting a lot of attention. Four white guys. So anyway, it's another joke, but that's not when you're joking. To me, this joke is worse than the joke about Jada Pinkett, because she's not up for an award. She's sitting in the front. You want to sit in the front, you're going to get roasted, right? She's there. She's part of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But this guy worked his ass off appropriating someone else's some dead guy's concert footage, which is amazing, and throwing boring interviews over it, and he should be acknowledged for that. Now, I said that to you because I know you like Summer of Soul, but that's the other take on Summer of Soul.
Yeah.
The Summer of Soul. So anyways, the guy's mad. He just thinks, and it's worse. You can't joke around. If you're the presenter, say the guy's name.
Yeah, no kidding.
Unless someone punched you in the face and you're really nervous. And, you know, in that case, all is forgiven. But anyway, let's get to The Summer of Soul, Sam. That's the best documentary feature. And I know you loved it.
It was good. It was a very good documentary.
Now, here's my problem with Summer of Soul. I love the music. I love the footage. And every time they put an interview over that footage, I didn't like it.
I agree with that. There was too many talking heads in the interview or in the film, and I would have loved to have seen more focus on the footage. But I think the footage that they had may have been cut up and didn't. Some of it may have not been preserved right. Mm-hmm. So they may have had to put little bits and pieces of people talking in between.
Possible.
I'm not sure, though. But still, that's the only reason why I could see anybody trying to interrupt the music.
But what if it isn't that? What if that's not the case and Questlove is a narcissist and went around and found some guy's footage and took it and then put and then tried his best to make his own film out of it so that it could be about him and what he's doing? That's the other possibility.
Possible.
And that footage that they put over it, first of all, I get it. You went to that concert and it was really interesting. Okay. Let's put that on YouTube, and if someone wants to watch it, you like just a concert goer. Those aren't even like prominent contributors to anything other than walking over there for a free concert or to one of six free concerts, or however many there were. It's like a stretched out, you know, event. Okay, I don't care. You know, after I've seen one, I'm done. And then all this stuff about the turbulent 60s, that's not revelatory. We've seen that everywhere 1,000 times. So I would love to see the underlying footage because it was mesmerizing. To put that on, the other stuff on it, and you're taking someone else's footage. I mean, it's a real guy. What was his name? Turchin or Turchill? Let me find this guy's name. He deserves to be mentioned even on this stupid podcast. Hal Tulchin. Okay, so there is an original documentary, Sam, called Black Woodstock. The Harlem Cultural Festival, also known as Black Woodstock, was a series of musical concerts in Harlem and Manhattan, New York City during the summer of 1969 to celebrate African American music culture and to promote continued politics of Black pride. The director of that film is Hal Tulchin. Now, Hal Tulchin, that's a whole, you know, full-length documentary that is that we should be watching. Yeah. It's all the same cast, but without these interviews we don't need. And then Questlove comes and puts it together. I don't know. Great. You introduced it to a lot of people. But what should have won, this is where I get back to why I'm talking about this, was the film Attica from that was also nominated. And that is on that you can watch on a streaming service. Did you see Attica?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, I would love you to see Attica and you tell me which is better if you're in the Academy. Showtime.
Okay.
It's on Showtime and it is just, man, sobering. It's everything a documentary should be, to tell you something you didn't know anything about, get the real, go back and get these people that were involved and talk to them and tell me what I thought happened, didn't happen, but something else happened. And it was brutal, and that's why no one wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that is a, that's my pick. And I picked it on my ballot and everything, you know, my ballot for my Oscar party that I went to, that I was the only one with a ballot. That's how sad the Oscars are now. Okay. So enough of that. I'm going to get in. Do you have anything more to say about that? Before we get to the Lakers?
I really did like the talking head stuff. I just feel like you could have put them in between more of the music. I'm a big fan of the music and I just really would have loved to have seen it kind of go uninterrupted. That was about it.
Yeah. So, anyway, but you know, this is the Academy. They do whatever they're going to do. Yeah. There's a lot of backlash on they're going through the Oscars and trying to find out all the stuff that was worse than what Will Smith did.
Oh, I've seen that come up a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's great for everybody to, you know, put their own spin on everything. And a lot of things that comes up is Seth MacFarlane's boob song. Have you heard people?
I remember that.
Yeah. So even back in 2013, it angered a lot of Hollywood women. They think they crossed the line. But he was a favorite of the left. So he kind of got away from it, got away with it.
That's also kind of his humor. I mean, we've all seen all of his shows. So it's like, what else are we supposed to expect from Seth
MacFarlane? If you invite Seth MacFarlane, this is what you get.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really good song. I don't want to, I'm not going to weigh in on whether it's offensive or not, but at least it's a good song. And there was an elaborate dance number. And I don't like everything Seth MacFarlane does, but he's a marvel and a talent. So I don't know. Maybe you can bring him back. But okay, now let's get to the Lakers show. I've only watched the first episode, and I was surprised. I didn't know how they were going to do it. It's Adam McKay, who's a very famous producer,
and a
works
Celtic
a lot
fan,
with John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, who got in a fight over who was going to play Jerry Buss. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, and he's a Celtic fan, by the way.
McKay is?
Yeah, he's from Boston.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, so far, I mean, have you watched any of it?
No, I haven't had a chance. I've been actually writing papers and watching movies and documentaries from Iran and old school Westerns from here. And trying to draw comparisons.
Have you watched High Noon, the greatest Western of all time?
No. I did a very highly focused one.
Okay. All right. Well, once you just for fun, watch High Noon, the greatest Western of all time. Maybe the greatest movie of all time, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's like my number one. It's in my top five. That's for sure.
Okay.
Now, the Jerry Buss. Yeah. So I guess Adam McKay, like Will Ferrell doesn't talk to Adam McKay anymore. And John C. Reilly, he said that role was his. And then all of a sudden he had to read it in the paper that they gave it to John C. Reilly. Anyway, the movie is, or the series, it does a lot of talking to the camera, kind of like, what's that film, Playing
kinda,
It Short? What was
yeah,
that?
Kind of like The Office.
No, not like The Office. More like, it's a lot of explanations. No one's there making a documentary. They're just breaking the fourth wall and they're talking. But and it is annoying a little bit. But when you think about it, it's the only way to get all this information out, because there's just a lot of information that has to come out. And you could either do it that way, or you could do it as an awkward conversation between two actors that will sound phony anyway.
Yeah.
So they just kind of turn to the camera and talk about like, oh, this is how much the Lakers are worth, this is what I'm buying it for, and this is how the deal is going down, and then you get like an hour's worth of information in about 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay.
But so far so good, and they're not pulling any punches when it comes to Magic Johnson. Surprising.
Yeah.
It starts out with some shocking stuff. Anyway.
From what I understand, they had the Laker trainer, Gary Vee, on set as an advisor for like 2 days, and he walked off the set. He was like, I can't do this. This isn't – he's like, they're not even going close to what reality is, but this is a great show.
Yes, it looks like it's either – it's two things. It's called Winning Time, and it's on HBO Max. It's either the – he left because it is the actual truth, and the truth is uncomfortable. Or it's not the truth, and it's a sensationalized version to make a great series. It's one or the other. I mean, well, who's ever going to know? But I don't blame him. If I was connected with the Lakers and I was trying to protect their legacy, I wouldn't want to be back about this. And it is exaggerated for sure. When you watch these things, you're like, nobody talks like this. But still, so far, so good. I'm watching it.
Right on. I'm going to have to catch up on it. My dad's been watching it, and he's been telling me that I have to watch that, because we all grew up being huge Laker fans. So my dad was really turned on by just the how behind-the-scenes-ish the whole thing felt.
Yeah. Okay. The last thing I want to talk about is last week we had Brady McDonald on, and we talked to him for the full hour about if you're tricky, you heard us play it twice on the air. But you talked about Disney and Bob Chapek with his problem with this law in Florida that the governor signed that would prevent the teachers from talking about gender and sexuality to kindergartners, first graders, and second graders, and third graders. Which to me was like, someone got in a room and said, hey, we don't want, half people said, we don't want these teachers talking to our kids about any of this stuff. And the other half said, well, I don't know, you know, it's important that, you know, we have these conversations. And someone said, all right, can we agree that we can, let's hold off until fourth grade? And then someone said, all right, let's just, this is a volatile hot button situation. Let's just say, okay, at third grade, not before fourth grade, third grade, second grade, don't do it. And then seems like a compromise, but to the enemies of this bill, you know, they are not having any of it. So they, and Disney, as I've always said on the show, you're never going to have the good Disney stuff you like without the gay community. The gay community has said, hey, we think this is an attack on gays because we think this was put into place to prevent teachers from telling kids that it's okay if they're gay. And the parents are like, hey, look, if someone wants to tell the kid that it's okay if it's gay, it's going to be me. And then we all know there's other parents that are going to say, I don't care how gay this kid is. No one's ever going to tell him it's okay. So you got all those different kinds of people. Now it's just exploded. Now to me, it's like if you, in the old days, the days of civility, when we weren't such a divided country, people would go like, hey, are we going to go all in as Disney and oppose this law? And someone would say, hey, I know you guys want to, but that would be too volatile. It would hurt our brand because we would have boycotts and we would have all this stuff. So let's kind of nuance our way through this and just get to the other side and do whatever work we do. And that's just going too far. And then everyone would go like, okay, some people in the company would go, I really think I'm really let down by Disney because they're not going all the way when we have so many gay people here. And then the other people would go, hey, you know what? Doesn't even say gay in the bill. And it's these parents, parental rights kind of thing. So let's just leave it alone and fight a battle some other way. So they have I picture those conversations going on, but, and Bob Chapek saying, yeah, we have to think about our, respect for civil rights and also our respect for parents that buy the stuff that we make and shareholder value, all this stuff. So Chapek nuances it, tries to get out of it, blows up because it becomes a thing. Like, if you don't attack this, then you're part of the problem. That's where he is now. And so he goes back and apologizes, and nobody's happy with his apologies. Everything's going bad. And so far, am I getting it kind of right, Sam?
Pretty much, yeah. That's kind of the vibe. But
the vibe that's going on.
Yeah.
And then what the new part this week is the people against the Disney, you know, because there's walkouts. There's the Imagineers saying, we're not going to even move to Disney, to Florida. Everybody, and then it becomes a thing where everybody in Florida is villainized because it looks like if you live in Florida, if Disney is saying you can't do that morally, it's morally unconscionable to do any business in Florida with this law that was duly passed by Floridians that want it, then you're immoral. So that makes not only the people that voted for it immoral and the politicians immoral, it also makes anybody who's doesn't just pack up and leave Florida immoral. In a certain sense. So it's created a war, and the part of the war that's going on this week is these people are pointing out that Disney is doing business in all these anti-gay companies and bragging about how they're expanding their Disney Plus service in these anti-gay governments that put gay people in jail, throw them off the tops of buildings, and they're taking their cruise ships into places where it's illegal to be gay. So now we have a war on our hands. So I don't know where this is going.
I don't think anybody does at this point.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going. Exactly. That's all I can say. All right, Sam.
Oh, that was fun.
Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood, leaving you with just a taste of the greatest song ever written. Talk to you next week.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.